Well, this morning we're going to finish talking about the koan that I was talking about last week, last Saturday. This koan is from Daigo, Great Enlightenment, which is a fascicle by Dogen Zenji from the Shobogenzo. So I'll start out by reading the koan. A monk once asked Great Master Pao Shi, "What happens when a person of great enlightenment still suffers from delusion?" So what happens when a person of great enlightenment still suffers from delusion? Hi, come on in. There's a chair over here if you want to sit in the chair. The master says, "A broken mirror never reflects again. Fallen blossoms cannot climb back onto the trees." Okay? A broken mirror never reflects again. Fallen blossoms cannot climb back onto the trees. So that's his answer to that question. So what could that mean? What is that about? So essentially, what we talked about last time is how we understand the nature of realization, what we think enlightenment is, the stories that we make up about it, and that they're not particularly helpful. So today I want to talk about what it means to say a broken mirror never reflects again, fallen blossoms cannot climb back onto the trees. So the first thing about this is that when we listen to it, we usually think to ourselves, if this is about enlightenment and delusion, and we assume that the mirror represents realization, then we say, oh, a broken mirror never reflects again. Well, that's pretty cut and dry, black and white. Fallen blossoms cannot climb back onto the trees. So this sounds very drastic. So what this is predicated on is the idea that enlightenment is a state which never changes. That enlightenment is something that you attain, that you never lose. And if you lose it, well, it's permanent. So this is not our teaching, but this is something that we often think about, the way we often think about the nature of our experience. So this is not, this phrase here is not about some kind of sequential before and after talking about delusion and enlightenment. It's not talking about something broken or fallen, which would be delusion, and the thing before it was broken or fallen, which is enlightenment. It's talking about just the state of broken or fallen, just that moment of that. So it's not bound by some kind of preconceived notions that we have about that moment in particular. So Dogen calls this particular moment of time and being. So time and being are one thing, they're not separate things. So that means that everything that you can name has its particular time and being that can't be separate. So there is the time of the broken mirror. So the time of the shards of the broken mirror. There's the time of, let's say, one of the images Dogen likes to use a lot is the old plum tree. So there's the time of the flowers falling from the plum tree. There's the time of the flowers blooming on the plum tree. There's the time of the plum tree itself. The time of the flowers, time being of the flowers. There's the time being of this cup, there's the time being of you in this particular moment. So this time being is a Dharma position. It's a stage called a Dharma stage. Usually it's translated as either, it's the word Japanese hoi, and it's either translated as a Dharma stage or a Dharma position. This is really important in our practice, because it means that each moment arises with its own particularity and its own isness and beingness that we can explore. We're not trapped by past, and we're not trapped by our past actions. We're not trapped by some future notion of what we want in the future. We're not trapped by a concept we have called enlightenment. We're not trapped by a concept that we have called delusion. What we're being asked to do is engage in pure response with what's arising right now. And that's really hard for us to do because we get caught in all of our ideas about things. We don't actually meet the moment. We kind of meet the moment with our ideas about the moment. So when we read this about this monk saying, well, what happens when a person of great enlightenment still suffers from delusion? We immediately get caught because it's set up with a this or that premise. It's set up with enlightenment or delusion. We just go right down that hole. And then so the next line doesn't make sense to us because we've already taken the bait. We've drunk the Kool-Aid because that's how our minds work. We want it to be this or that. We don't want the ambiguity, the messiness of life. We just want to be enlightened. And we've talked about this a lot before. What's enlightenment? Enlightenment feels good. Enlightenment is always doing the right thing. Enlightenment is never going backwards. Is there a backwards? Is it possible to go backwards? Each being time has its own particularity, its own brilliance, as Dogen says, komyo, its own luminescent, radiant light. He says everything is komyo, this luminous, radiant light of Buddha nature, this luminous, radiant light of our lives, this essential nature that everyone is endowed with, everything is endowed with, all of reality is shining brightly with this essential nature. So sometimes we call this delusion, sometimes we call this realization. Sometimes we say good or bad, but actually it is things just as they are, right in this moment. It is just what it is in this moment. So our question is, how do I respond in this moment? What's the most helpful thing to do in this moment? So it's not about some kind of irredeemable lost realization. This is not about some Zen master falling down a hole somewhere and never able to get back out. This is about us. This is about our lives. This is about sometimes we respond with realization or enlightenment, which what is that? That really is just all about responding to the totality of the moment with a kind of generosity, discernment, morality, and ethics, which in Buddhism are based upon this interconnected nature. And the Christians say, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's really simple. So this way in which we respond from that place. And sometimes we do it, sometimes we're able to do it, and sometimes we're not able to do it. Sometimes what we do is skillful, and sometimes it's unskillful. Sometimes what we do is workable, it's a way to say it, or it's not very workable. So it's really not about good or bad. I think good or bad is the kind of thing we fall into where we like to blame and accuse or call ourselves names or call somebody else names. This notion of good and bad. Usually our ideas about good and bad are completely separate from we're trying to overlay them on top of what's happening. So it's not, so I think it's more helpful to say to yourself, is this workable or isn't it workable? Is this skillful or is this unskillful? Have I done something that's unskillful? And if it's unskillful, working with that is okay. It happens. So it's not like some kind of indictment. We all make mistakes. We all say and do stuff that's not particularly helpful, are not very workable, not very skillful. So if we say that to ourselves about what somebody else is doing or what we're doing, then it becomes something that's manageable, something we can work with, something that we can see as a problem to solve, as opposed to a personal indictment of the self. So there's this way in which we think about delusion as this kind of indictment of who we are, what our true nature is, and that's not really an accurate statement. And we talked about this last week. Realization, delusion, good, bad, broken mirror, fallen, not broken mirror, fallen buds, not fallen buds, all of those things exist simultaneously. When one is coming forward, the other one, we may not see it, but it does not cease to exist. Reality itself has to include both of those things, plus much more. So what's actually present is much more than what we see. And because it's already present, it means it's also accessible. So when we fall down, we use, as Dogen says, we use the ground to get up off the ground. This way in which we go back to the teachings, we go back to the Dharma and use that to stand up with. And it's never not there. The ground is never not there. Literally and figuratively. So this is not an either-or proposition. Dogen said in the Genchō Koan, so this is a pretty famous passage, he said, once firewood turns to ash, ash cannot revert to being firewood. This is similar to what this other statement is in the koan, right? A broken mirror never reflects again. Fallen blossoms cannot climb back onto the trees. Once firewood turns to ash, ash cannot revert to being firewood. But you should not take the view that it is ashes afterward and firewood before. Okay? You should realize that although firewood is at the Dharma stage of firewood, and that this is possessed of before and after, the firewood is at the same time independent, completely cut off from before, completely cut off from after. So this is what this koan is talking about. So we have firewood, it gets burnt, it turns into ash. But Dogen's saying ash cannot revert back to firewood. So we all are on board with that. That's a very sequential way of looking at things. To say, this happens, this happens, this happens, this happens. Can't go backwards. But then he says, you should not take the view that is ashes afterwards and firewood before. Don't get caught in the ashes, firewood before part. Don't get caught in some notion of what this should or shouldn't be. Shohaku Okamura likes to say about this, he says, 100% firewood, 100% ash, 100% this moment. This is really tough for us to do. But we can work on this. We can be liberated through 100% this moment. So if 100% this moment is complete engagement with the moment, without preconceived ideas, that affords us a way of not being trapped by our ideas about the moment, not being trapped about the state of firewood as turning into ash, or the state of firewood as tree. We have the state 100% firewood, or 100% ash, not about being firewood before then, just 100% ash, not about where the ash is going after that. So for us, it's like we completely engage in this moment. It doesn't mean that we don't have some notion of past actions, past things, or notions that inform the nature of our experience, but it's about not getting caught. That's the problem, we get caught. And we need to wake up to the part about getting caught. So the way I like to think about it is if you have a circle, 360-degree circle, so you're in a particular moment, it's a holographic moment, everything's all right there, but a particular thing is happening. This is 100% just this moment. If you are having a difficult conversation with someone that you don't like, and you bring in all the past, I don't like this person, I remember everything that's ever happened in the past, and you project into the future, oh, this person's going to be a real pain. They're not going to listen to me. I don't like them. They always say this, yadda-da-da-da. Well, you can't be 100% in that conversation at that moment. You're like half in and half out of the conversation. You're not even aware of what's actually happening. You can't see their face. You can't listen to what they're saying. So maybe, and so what it means is that as you come into this moment with all this baggage, your ability to exit that moment skillfully is like getting really narrow, because you have all this, or maybe not even skillfully, just how you exit the moment. You've narrowed it down because you've brought all this baggage into the moment. It could be that if you were actually present for that person, you might realize something like, oh, what they're saying is actually not such a bad idea. Or you might look at that person and you might go, oh, I can see that maybe they're suffering, like they're in pain. Maybe that's why they're not being very skillful. But there's this way in which you can actually kind of get past your ideas and 100% fully present yourself for that moment. And be willing just to let a little sliver in there. You know, just let a little ray of the komeo, or the radiant light of reality, come in. And you can say, oh, what's it like to really just be present with this person right now? Then you have so many more options about how you actually respond to the moment. So this is a very practical application to your using this teaching, that it's just 100% this moment. It doesn't mean that, you know, it doesn't mean that if this person, we're hearing a lot right now about sexual harassment and all this, it doesn't mean that you go into the moment and forget about the fact that somebody told you that this person had harassed 5 other people that you know. So it isn't like that. It isn't like you leave your discernment behind, that you go into a moment completely naive without any notion of what you need to do to take care of yourself, if that's appropriate. But at the same time, you're not being led around by that. You're not being completely caught by that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So this way that you can hold those things together simultaneously. So this is what Dogen's asking us to do when he's talking about this 100%, be present for the moment, 100% as it is right now. So once firewood turns to ash, the ash cannot revert to being firewood. So he's acknowledging the fact that this is how reality works. Right? Causes and conditions, things happen. So they don't go away. Firewood is not miraculously, ash is not miraculously going to reconstitute itself into firewood. But at the same time, don't get caught in just thinking about firewood and ash as these interconnected states that completely and totally karmically inform each other, so that there's no, that it's like a narrow chute, that there's no way to be liberated from fate, if you will, or from karma. Because this is what we're talking about here, is this way where we think, this very fatalistic way of, okay, now I'm in this chute and there's no way out of this. You should realize that all the firewood is at the Dharma stage of firewood, and that this is possessed of before and after. So firewood has a before and after. So he's not denying that. The firewood at the same time is independent, completely cut off from before, and completely cut off from after. So this means that in any particular given time, even if we've been completely in delusion before that time, even if we've like done one unworkable thing after another, that we can change that, that we can respond with equanimity, that we can respond skillfully. So there's this way in which we have a freedom. We're liberated from being caught in that moment. So in this koan, each moment is this interplay between shattered and whole, fallen and joined. But in that particular moment, there is just this particular being time of the mirror and the particular being time of the blossom falling from the tree. Not good, not bad, just that moment. And the freedom of that moment, the freedom to do something different, the freedom to, the broken mirror is not going to become a whole mirror, but this isn't about a literal understanding of the metaphor. If we let go of the metaphor, if we let go of the mirror as needing to be whole, or the mirror as shattered, if we let go of the metaphor of the tree, if we let go of the metaphor of the blossoms, and we just are 100% with whatever's happening, then our response is going to be skillful. And that's what we're being asked to do. And this isn't about before as realization and after as delusion, like the firewood and the ash. Each has their independent moment in which there's this complete freedom of response that can happen. Just this intimate joining with, engaging with the moment just as it is in that moment. Another example is if you're addicted to something, or you know somebody who's addicted to something, if you go to them and say, well, I don't like you. You shouldn't be like this. You shouldn't be like this. But you don't accept that it is like this. That's the first thing we have to do, right? Is we have to 100% accept that whatever the situation that's difficult is a difficult situation. Or 100% accept this person is caught in addiction. So it's not about you should be this or you should be that. Or I'd like you to be this, or you should be that. The question is, it is what it is right now. So now what do we do with this situation as it is right now? Without blame, right? Because usually blame is just not helpful at all. Blame doesn't usually get us to transform our experience. Blaming someone else or saying someone else is bad or saying to ourselves we're bad doesn't usually get us to transform our experience. What transforms our experience is 100% experiencing the suffering of being in that state of delusion or being in that state of addiction or being in that state of whatever it is where we say, wow, this is like really doesn't feel good, so I think maybe transformation is in order here. I think maybe I want to figure out how to take the first step to transform this situation. But the only way I can take that first step is by actually accepting 100% whatever the state is that I'm in right now. This is the state of ash. This is the state of firewood. This is the broken mirror. This is the blossom that's fallen. So that's where our practice starts. So this is our state as human beings. This is how it is to be in the form realm. And in the form realm, again, from this position of the Dharma position, Dharma positions by being a particularity have form and boundaries. So each one of us has a form and a boundary. This cushion has a form and a boundary. So there's this way in which it is, if it didn't have a form and boundary, like we're always saying to ourselves, what's more important, the absolute or the relative? Well, the relative's delusion and the absolute is enlightenment. But that's not actually true. The relative and the absolute are the same thing. They're not separate. So at the same time that there's this Dharma position, in this case, this cushion that's defined by the material on the outside and the batting or whatever's on the inside, this thing that there is a difference between me or the podium or this cushion. And yet simultaneously, this cushion, the podium, myself, all of you, we all make up this room. We all make up this reality in this moment of being time. So it's 100% this room, and yet simultaneously, from this position, it's the Dharma position of just this cushion. So they are not separate from each other, and yet without the separation and the particularity of the cushion or the particularity of this self, I could not be liberated. So we're not trying to get rid of the self. We're not trying to get rid of our experience of being particular human beings, because that's exactly where our liberation comes from. We are in the form realm, and that form realm is simultaneously the absolute. The form realm is simultaneously interconnected with everything. So this, we say, emptiness. Emptiness is a shorthand for empty of inherent existence. Everything. So if we say this is form, that includes empty of inherent existence. If we say empty of inherent existence, it includes form. What's empty of inherent existence? Without the form, there is nothing empty of inherent existence. So from this position of 100% me, or the position of the Dharma position of you, from your place, which has to be fully defined, in that full definition is your liberation. The liberation doesn't happen outside of that. So we're not trying to run away from our lives. We're not trying to run away from this person. So everything that we got, each one of us got, right? All the suffering that we got, all the karma that we got in our lives, all the difficulties of our lives, all the joys of our lives, all the things that make up our life. That's our Dharma position. Completely, totally this Dharma position. So we have to be okay with that and then say, now what? Now what? And part of that, everything is not, it's not all good, it's not all bad, it's not all pain, it's not all suffering. But it is all this moment of our experience. And our experience sitting in this room right now is just the experience of sitting in this room, my experience of talking, your experience of listening. So that's 100% that experience. And it includes everything that came up in your life before you got here, everything that's going to happen afterwards, that's all included in this moment. But really what we're doing is just this moment. Just this moment. That's it. So we discern the nature of this moment. We know, we bring in the tools of our past experience, the tools and experiences, what we've learned, our discernment, and we have ideas about the future. We have ideas and notions about what we want or don't want, and yet we're completely in this moment. Letting go when appropriate, holding on when appropriate, but that's included in just this moment. And this moment includes both realization and delusion. It includes absolute and relative. All of that's happening simultaneously. So we're not trying to get away from anything. So when we say in Zen, you say, leaping clear of the many and the one, where are you going? That's it. That's what we're doing. And that's really hard. That's often very difficult to do. This is where we grow. This is where we change. This is where transformation happens. This is, in this moment, is where we find joy. In this moment is where we suffer. In this moment, in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment. And this is where realization is. It's not somewhere else. And it's in this completely interactive event called the present moment. So, this is this moment of what Dogen's calling great enlightenment. It's the going clear beyond our notions about one or the other. Just fully responding. If we can do this, if we don't get caught, that's realization beyond our ideas about what realization is. Thank you very much.